QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. That's 147.330, offset of 600, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. And that is good. Hearing none. Are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
6Q, WB6CLZ, got a quick one, Tom.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? WB6CLZ, go ahead.
We're doing great tonight. Hope everybody else is having a wonderful Tuesday evening. Hey, I got some extra flashcards that I no longer need. They're slightly used, almost new. I will part with them for a very reasonable price. If anybody's interested, either email me or see me at the club meeting on Saturday night. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, roger that. And Mike, I think you got your upgrade call sign there, what, Monday? Yesterday, that's pretty cool. Fantastic. No more EA. It's just WB6CLZ, the extra guy. Are there any other announcements out there? Please call KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
Go ahead, KJ6KDL.
Yeah, for those interested, KJ6KDK and I are going to whip up a batch of chicken sausage gumbo and bring it to the Amateur Radio Club meeting on Saturday. And those who are wishing to partake in something other than donuts and coffee, those will be available. But here there may be some other things there, too.
Okay, Jim, well, that sounds pretty good. Probably a lot more nutritious than the donuts, but I love donuts. I just can't help myself. Anyway, that's great. And I think Mike and Cindy are bringing some other stuff there, some cupcakes and stuff. So that's going to be pretty neat. That's at the Big Bear Fire Station. That'll be coming up this Saturday. Typically starts at 6:30, unless they have a tech session, which we're not sure of at this point in time. Are there any other announcements out there? Please call KF6Q. All right, hearing none, and if somebody does think of something, just go ahead and jump in there. Also, this weekend, Sunday, not Saturday, but Sunday, at 1 o'clock, also at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, we will be doing ham testing. If you're ready to take that test or know somebody who is, and upgrade, whatever you want to do, we'll be there. We'll be there at 1 o'clock. We believe we will have a few people there, but if we have any, we don't have anybody showing up, we'll be there only for 30 minutes. So please try to get there at 1 o'clock. All righty. Let's see. Topics this evening. Let me take a break here real quick. We will be discussing, besides the DX report from Michael, CW, Morse code, the old stuff that nobody had to learn now. And actually, all its features and all the good reasons of why we should still learn it. But anyway, that's our topic for this evening. So, anyway, all right, Mike, I hear you out there. Was that you, WB6CLZ? We'll give you a formal check-in.
Yep, Tom, I'm still here, and I'll do a quick DX report. There ain't none. No, 28 sunspots, things aren't that great. I haven't heard anything, you know, really exciting from this end. You know, maybe up there at altitude you guys are doing a little bit better, but we're not hearing much. Okay, check me in, and we're ready to roll. KF6Q, WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, Okay, Mike, great. And by the way, your signal sounds a lot better. So maybe it was just a little propagation. I have no idea. Anyway, let's see who else is out there. Anybody else out there ready to check in for Tech Tuesday here? Please come back to KF6Q.
KD6LAN.
KD6LAN, Bill, Boulder Bay. Thanks for being with us this evening. Anybody else out there, please come back, and we'll write you on the list here.
Hey, Tom, Mark was going to check in on Echolink, so in a minute or two, give him a few seconds.
Okay, well, roger that. If there's anybody out there wants to check in on Echolink, please come now. We'll leave about a good 20-second pause. Alrighty, not sure if that was 20 seconds, but didn't hear anybody out there, so maybe we'll check back in a little bit later, see if there's anybody out there on Echolink. All right, anybody else out there like to come back to Net Control here and check in? Please come back.
KJ6HZS.
KJ6HZS, Mike, Grays Peak. Glad to have you with us this evening. Anybody else out there, please come back.
KJ6FIL.
KJ6FIL, Mike and Red Ones there. Definitely glad to have both of you with us tonight. Might have been somebody underneath you there, but that's okay. We'll give them another shot. Anybody else, please come back.
AF6ZJ. Hey, I got one for you here. That's just a taste.
Okay, guy. Well, yeah, we'll give you your shot here in a little bit. Anyway, and we will have some other people joining with us. I had a phone call, and some of the people are still, I guess the State of the Union address is still going strong. However, we're just going to keep on moving ahead here. So got to make a choice, politics or Tech Tuesday. All right, anybody else out there who wants to check in, please come back to KF6Q. KD6PL, Harold, glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there?
KD6PL, Rigma.
All right, roger that. Last person checking in there. Little scratchy, you want to come back one more time. Okay, roger that. Got the Red Mountain and most of your call sign there. That's fine. Glad to have you with us this evening. And let's see. And I know we had KJ6KDL out there and probably KDK. But anyway, we'll let them check in a minute. Anybody else out there, please come back.
Yep, KJ6KDK and KDL.
All right, Jim and Rosemary, glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there who would like to check in, please come back. All righty. Well, Mike, I think we got a kind of house full here. Fantastic. So let's just real quick go back to your DX. Not a lot of DX. Basically, in your opinion, from what you've seen over the last month, is our solar spots, we have sunspots, but just not enough, not big enough? Is that what's happening there?
Not really enough, not big enough. There's some things going on, too, that things just aren't right, and I haven't really got into it. But, yeah, not as good as we had several months ago.
Okay, roger that. Well, there's always a good thing about it being down, because there's no place to go but up. Anyway, alrighty. Well, this evening we're going to talk a little bit about Morse code. Actually, we're going to talk a lot about Morse code. And everybody out there listening in, obviously, we don't have to have that anymore to get our license. Years ago we did, and then they dropped out part of it. Then they eliminated it completely, I believe it was in 2007. Mike, I think, is that when it got dropped completely?
It was 2007, Tom, yeah.
Okay, Roger that. And, you know, a lot of that is not that Morse code isn't a good thing. It's to help encourage the hobby. I do believe, and this is just my opinion, I think some of the tests have actually become easier. Now, I'm not saying they're easy. I'm just saying they're easier compared to what they were, say, maybe 20, 30 years ago or so. You have to be a little more tech-oriented. I think what they're trying to do is stimulate the ham amateur radio, the ham groups here, the hobby. And I think by making it a little easier, but still you do have to take a test, so keeping it a little regulated, I think it's become a good thing. So, well, anyway, but Morse code. Mike, do you have any facts there? I know Samuel Morse started that out. There wasn't any ham radio. It was just telegraph, right?
That telegraph. Then it went to spark gaps where they would throw a huge spark and run it up to an antenna. Then they went to coherent CW, which is actually putting a frequency to it rather than very broad. And on until we got where we are today.
Okay, Roger that. Spark gap transmitters. You could actually ask the guy, what frequency are you transmitting on? And he'd just say, all of them at the same time. That was pretty much it. Up to a certain range, of course, sparks having a huge amount of harmonics, which is why we get noise from stuff like that, like motors. But that was the original transmission, using that spark gap to just create that pulsing dots and dashes. Which had already become very popular for telegraph across the United States. And, you know, obviously, if you've ever looked at the Morse code, it says, well, this doesn't really seem to make sense. But I think there is a sense to that. Did you find any in the research? I know I did talk to somebody about that, of actually how they formed the code. But did you research that? I didn't find that.
We didn't really see anything on that. We've heard various stories throughout the year, all of them, which I've forgotten. But I really didn't find anything that stood out regarding it. Great.
Aha, I think we have somebody who's got some info there. Let's see, break. That's the CB term, isn't it, Mike? Aren't we supposed to use our call sign and announce it? Oh, wait a minute, it's Jim. That's okay.
Sorry about that, good buddy. KJ6KDL. I was looking at that when I was studying for my technician license, and Wikipedia has an interesting link called Morse Code Mnemonics. There's a visual mnemonic on how the alphabet was created. And once you look at it, I guess you could say, well, I guess that makes sense. But unless you look at it, you wouldn't know.
Okay, Jim, so I guess if we did a search through Wikipedia, probably bring that back up, I guess.
Roger that. It's Wikipedia, Morse Code Mnemonics, MNEMONICS, for those like me who did not know how to spell it correctly. Go down about halfway, and they actually show a picture of the capital alphabet and how the dots and dashes fill in the letters.
All right, well, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. We will have a little bit later on, we've got Guy, AF6ZJ, got interesting information about the Morse code alphabet song or video. And Guy, we're going to get your, you'll have your own personal shot at that here in a little bit. But anyway, interesting thing about Morse code. Now, for a lot of us, that was a stumbling block to get a license. I know I was trying to study to get my license when I was in high school, and that Morse code seemed to be just something I couldn't get around. But, Mike, I'd say you're one of the older hams that we have with us this evening. When did you actually pick up Morse code, and was that when you were in the Navy, or how'd you do that?
XQ in the Tech Tuesday Group, this is WD6GLZ. Well, actually, before that, my neighbor and I had a little back and forth, had a wire between our bedrooms, and we would send Morse code back and forth. We had a code oscillator at my end and a speaker at his end, and two telegraph keys, and that's when we would use a little shorting bar to shorten the wire across to where it would make continuity, and then you could open it up when the other guy was sending. But yeah, we just had a little link across, and then we were playing Morse codes back and forth when I was about 12 or 13 years old.
And the rest of us were playing baseball, basketball, other. No, just kidding. No, that's interesting. That's pretty neat. Yeah, and I think that's the old way they worked, is that if the station, especially with the telegraph in the West, the station wasn't currently being used, they shorted the connectors on it so that it would, whoever was sending would go right on through, and kind of like the early form of, party one, I guess. Anyway, pretty neat. About how old were you when you were doing that?
About 12 or 13 years old. We were young bucks, and I did play a little league baseball.
Okay, all right. I was just giving you a bad time there. But anyway, one of the neatest things about Morse code, and I know that it's neat to be able to get a license without it, however, it does come in handy. I know that if you're ever going across through the 2-meter band here, you'll hear some of the repeaters will ID using Morse code. Ours does. Of course, ours does it very quickly. Some of them are not as quick, a little bit slower, and that's kind of a neat thing. If you knew Morse code, you'd know exactly the call sign of the repeater. So that's handy there. But there's a lot of other issues with Morse code as far as being a good thing to know, and that's with light, not just with radio, but actually sending light. If you were stranded someplace and you had a flashlight, that would be a good use of sending Morse code with a flashlight. That is, of course, if somebody's out there is going to know what you're doing. Well, hey, there's a light blinking over there. What's it doing? It's blinking. I don't know, Mike. What do you think?
You walked me right into my story, Tom. We used to hike up on the Pacific Crest Trail on 4th of July so we could see the fireworks on the lake. And one time we did that, and I was up there with a flashlight, and it kind of had the button on it, not where I was turning it on and off, but it had a button. And I just was playing around and sent it to CQ. And son of a gun, about 5-10 minutes after doing that, somebody was flashing back, and in about maybe 5 or 6 words a minute, we were kind of conversing on light Morse code. And you know, the Navy ships use that too. They have a light blinker, a huge light that they can send back and forth the ships, because it's very narrow bandwidth. In other words, you can only see the guy usually right in front of you and not behind you. And it's pretty efficient.
Yeah, roger that. I think probably one of the neatest things about CW or Morse code, first off, for everybody out there listening here, we are using a repeater. Repeater helps us have a good footprint out there. As we know, the Big Bear repeater has a huge footprint out there from beyond and into Arizona and all the way down to parts of San Diego and all the way up to Mount Whitney. And if there was more land out to the west, we'd probably be way out there too. Anyway, with all that said, we've got a good footprint with repeaters. Now, Mike, why would we want any more?
I think everyone's heard this before. There may be a time when the repeaters don't work. You know, a prolonged power failure on a on cloudy days, if the ones that have solar backup and such. And we need ways to communicate that are simple, effective, and if that's the case, don't use a heck of a lot of power.
Yeah, roger that. And I think that's one of the key points there. And, by the way, one of our listeners out there had made a suggestion, and we're not really ready to do that this week, possibly next week, about doing a simplex test. And, maybe we might schedule that after the Tech Tuesday or prior. We'll work something out there. But simplex is a good thing. That's a good backup, and we know we can talk to each other. Not usually as far, because we're not going to be in the prime location like the repeater is, usually at a mountaintop. Most repeaters are on mountaintops or high points or buildings or whatever for that purpose. So, let's see, the HF bands, well, you can talk around the world, right?
Now, there's more than one way you can talk around the world.
Yeah, roger that. We have different forms of modulation, and mostly sideband is used on HF, on the HF bands. Neat thing, though, CW, provided, of course, you know it, will reach out further, will go through more noise, and you'll be able to discern it out there huge distances with way less power, way less antenna. It's the original. It's what gets out there. You correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's got more reaching power than even the digital radio modes, but, that's kind of up for debate right now. So, but anyway, 5 watts and a little CW transmitter, Mike, I would imagine you could probably hit just about any place in the world, as a guess.
Small CW is a digital mode. You're turning the signal on and off. Anyway, yeah, years ago, I had a little Tentec Argonaut, 5-watt CW, and sideband transceiver. I used it on both. I've got QSL cards from just about anywhere you could mention with 5-watt CW and simple antennas on a city lot.
That's fantastic to be able to do that. I think with CW2, I'm not sure about the duty cycle, but how that works, or whether you're probably not stressing your amp as much, I'm not sure. We'd have to put that all out in paper, but either way, it's pretty neat. Now, amazing thing here, all you people out there listening that have a tech license, three of the major bands, the 15-meter band, the 40-meter band, and the 80-meter band. If you did want to do CW, novice and tech, of course there are no novices anymore, the tech class, you'll be in the same area and operating category as the generals and advanced class. I think the extras get that little nudge on a couple of those. But, so you're right there. You've got the same frequencies, but you're, limited to CW. The other guys get RTTY. RTTY. Mike, what's RTTY?
All forms of teletype, which basically anymore is decoded on your computer screen.
Roger that. Would that be a fancy name for, like, say, PSK31 is one form of that, correct?
PSK31, MTOR, AMTOR, I think they all fall into that category.
Okay, roger that. Well, tech class people out there, you can't do that, but you can do CW. And you'll find other people out there. You'd be surprised. A lot of people out there are doing 5 words a minute or thereabouts. And that's pretty much a starting point there. So anyway, well, I think that's really pretty interesting. Now, Mike, quick question. I know the answer, by the way. What frequencies in general are we allowed to do CW? Is it limited, or what's up with that?
Yeah, 6-2 in the Tech Tuesday group, WB6CL. So generally on the HF bands, that's the lower portion of the band, usually starting with everything except extra class license, about 25 kilohertz into the lower end of the band, and quite a bit of room. The 30-meter band is all CW. On the 160-meter band, you can work CW throughout the band, but there is a planned band plan, and it's generally not done. And at VHF, CW, I believe, not approving the band plan, but band plan, but it's authorized throughout all of the VHF, UHF, and micro advanced.
Hey, Roger that. Got a little noise there, but it started to go away towards the end, just to let you know. Well, according to the ARRL, now I know we have, in the band plans, we have areas set aside. But if you needed to, CW is actually allowed, other than the 60-meter band, is allowed on all frequencies, all bands. So, of course, you would be interfering with other modes out there, but it actually is permitted. It's just not really, how would you call it, neighborly if you're stepping on somebody out there with a single sideband signal and you're not where you're really supposed to be. So, anyway, that was just an interesting point. Now, we do have a gentleman out there, Guy Adams, out there, and is called AF6ZJ in Rosemont. Guy, what do we have cooking here with this alphabet soup song video? What's up with that?
Well, AM6EJ here. All it really is a YouTube video. My 7-year-old daughter, she loves the heck out of it, but it's on YouTube, and it's titled The Morse Code Song. So anybody out there want to try it, pull it up there. It's kind of a cute little ditty, and it's just basically listening to the tone there. Let's see here. I don't know. Is that legal for me to go ahead and play a portion of that or not?
You know, I'm not sure, but I think if it's copyrighted material, then I don't think that's allowed. So, but I'm not. I think that's anything else is gray area, I guess. But maybe you could hum a few bars.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
As long as it's for CW instruction, he can go ahead and play it. EG6PL.
Well, there you go, Guy. By golly, you're instructing us, so go ahead.
Sounds good to me. Get the idea there. It's kind of a cool little song there. Like I said, my daughter really loves it. Anyways, back to you there, Tom.
That is pretty cool. And I could barely hear the guy there, but he's, I guess, speaking the letters out as he does each one.
That is correct. Yeah, he goes all the way through it, and it's 2 minutes and 52 seconds in duration, and like I said, it kind of goes right back through it again. And my daughter usually comes running into the computer room or the ham shack every time it comes on there. Loves the heck out of it. Anyways, back to you.
Question.
Go ahead, question.
What is the name of that? How do you find it? AD6PO.
Okay, just go on to type in YouTube if you're on the computer up in the Google box or if you got Google, and just go YouTube Morse Code Song, and that'll take you right to it.
A little interesting fact here. I think we've all at one time or another have seen something there from YouTube, and they're pretty cool. A lot of instructional stuff out there. And funny stuff out there on YouTube. There is a site, and just type in, I think it's still up and running. It's called YouTube Droid, D-R-O-I-D, YouTube Droid. Go there, and if you can, bring up a window of your YouTube video that you're looking at. You can actually cut and paste the link into YouTube Droid. YouTube Droid is free, and it's all done online, and it will convert that YouTube video to any video format. Actually, well, not any. I think there's quite a few, and most of them are the popular ones. And it simply sits there and cooks away, and then when it's all done, you download that conversion, and you now have your YouTube video, something you can store and play back later without actually being on the Internet. So that's pretty neat. Good way to save it and actually use it for training. Back to you, Mike, real quick.
That's kind of cool. There are also lots of other sites, too, that you can get CW practice, CW information, ARRL, just a myriad of sites that if you want to learn this, will help you out.
Yeah, and of course, we have to mention W1AW. That's what, in Connecticut, Mike?
That is the Hiram Piercy Maxim Memorial Station, and I believe it's in Newton, Connecticut. I know it used to be, so I think it's still in Newton, Connecticut.
Hey, Roger that. And for everybody out there who does not know, they broadcast many, many things, and they do CW at specific speeds. And, of course, I'm sure you could cheat if you had a decoder. If you copy the code at a specific time and day on that broadcast and copy it correctly, you can email, I don't know, maybe you can email that or you send that in. They'll give you a certificate certifying that, say, if it was at 10 words a minute, that you copied code at 10 words a minute. Kind of neat stuff to paper your walls with if you don't already have stuff. So you can actually get certified through W1AW. And, Mike, all of what they broadcast and is available where else?
I was fascinated today. It is in downloadable form, suitable for MP3 files. So you can walk around with your MP3 player in your ear and drive yourself totally crazy with CW. No, I'm kidding. And learn CW. By the way, the certificate for the qualifying runs, if you go for the CW certificate for code proficiency. It's $10 for the certificate, and if you want a sticker like to put on your hat or whatever, they're $7.50. I found that to be interesting.
Okay, Roger that. Now, if I'm not mistaken, too, I was speaking with a gentleman up here, W06B, Tom, in Sugarloaf earlier today, and I, from what he says, that also they not only does W1AW broadcast over the air, they also do their code broadcasts like that over the Internet. So it's kind of like the old, we're not going to call it IRLP or Echolink. It's probably just a direct link. But you can also do that code copy there. And it's good practice if you're going to start learning. There you go. So there's a good way to listen up on that. And I know one thing is Morse code is, it seems like a big hurdle to climb, but it actually is not. It's not as hard as what you would think. But Mike, what else? Let's see. You've got MP3s you can download. It's on broadcast. It's on the Internet. So just about every way, shape, and form.
Tech 2Z Group WB6CLZ. And there's also different ways to learn it. There's so many different methods and ways, and you know, none of them are right or wrong. It's whatever suits you and which works best with you. There's some that say you should send it and look at it at the same time. Some that say learn it slowly and then don't listen to anything except for 20 word a minute words. There's all kinds of different ways that you can learn, and it's whatever suits you.
Yeah, watch that. I'll tell you what I had, and this is back in 1967, 68. Picked up a code learning kit, which actually was came with a little key, a little oscillator, a little speaker. It came with a 45 RPM record and this big chart. And, and a book. I think there was some kind of a book there. But basically the chart was laid out. So dots went one way, dashes went the other. And at that time, that method was you were to pretty much memorize this chart in your head. So if you were listening to dots and dashes, you would mentally zigzag through this chart, and wherever you stopped, there is your letter. And I have to tell you that I don't believe that's the best way. In fact, I don't believe that's the way at all. It's very difficult. I think the better way is to learn each one as its individual sound. If I say hot dog, you don't have to think H-O-T-D-O-G. You know it's a hot dog. So if you hear the letter A or the letter N or the letter C, memorize it as the total sound. I think that's the better way. And, Mike, do you remember which way actually did you just – can you – well, I mean, let's put it this way. You learned a long time ago, so probably was a little bit easier as you were younger. How did you learn it? As which method was the popular one you had back then?
Speech more than 15 words a minute.
Okay, Roger, I think I just doubled with you. I'm going to hand it back to you again. Go ahead.
Well, very sorry, Tom. I thought you were turning it over to me for a comment. Okay. I was saying that it's kind of neat when you learn words. What I'm doing right now is trying to learn words. My favorite one is best, B-E-S-T. It's got rhythm. Or a lot of words that you can just tell, you know, send that faster than 15 words a minute. You can learn the word rather than the letters, and that helps you be a little more proficient at higher speed.
Okay, Roger, that now when you're, or what, I don't know what you're used to doing back in the days of the Navy, what do you do? Can you mentally keep track of it, or are you writing this down as you go, or what do you do when you're copying code?
Be brutally honest, I think I used it maybe once or twice in the Navy for a CW test net on a Navy destroyer. But what they did is I knew the Morse code, so they sent me to typing school. And what you do is you type it as it comes in. You do a lot of crypto, too, which, I mean, they had set up to do a lot of crypto. We didn't. But which are five-letter groups. Then you go into this little room and decode that and actually get the message.
Okay, well then basically what you're saying is instead of writing it down pencil and paper, you're simply typing it as it comes in, and that's kind of cool. I guess you could do the same thing today if you had a computer next to your radio, you know, and type that in, I guess, or just back to the old pencil and paper. So, and that way, too, I guess it's a good way to, if you write stuff down, if you miss a character or you... This is very, very important. It actually was very important back in the days where you had to take the test to get your license. If you miss a character, just drop it. Mentally drop it and move ahead. Just move on. Because just like the say the word there, T-H-E-R-E, let's say you missed the second E. You're probably going to be able to figure that out if you can copy the rest of it. Back to you, Mike.
Roger that, and that's really a hard one to do because your mind wants to strive to find out what the one you missed is. But I equate it to driving a car. When you're in a skid, you have to force yourself to let off the brake, and it's basically the same thing when you're copying CW. But if you're going to do that at speed, you have to learn how to do that.
Yeah, Roger that, because essentially, you know, like you say, we want to get that one, get everything right. We want to get that one right. And what you're going to do is you're going to mentally start to fall behind, and it just turns into a turmoil there, into a whirlwind, a downward spin. what I've heard, I'm not an avid CW guy. As a matter of fact, I'm on the learning curve myself. Like to learn that, And you know what? You don't have to be doing 20, 30, or 25 words a minute. If you can copy anything, that's good. Because you never know. That might be that little something. Because if something, somebody's sending something and they're in distress, they're not going to be out there sending something as fast as they can. They want you to copy it. So it's probably going to be about as slow as they can go. So if you can copy code, it's a good thing to have a little niche in your belt there. Back to you, Mike.
Generally, occasionally you get the guy that is, will not cooperate, but generally people will match your sending, especially if you're calling CQ. If you call CQ at a certain speed, the approved procedure is to answer back at that speed. So, yeah, generally people kind of, that's why you'll hear, if you hear a CW QSO on the air, they'll both be sending about the same speed because that's generally how it's done.
Oh, that's pretty neat. And I would imagine that, like anything, you know, you're going to have some people that won't, but for the most part, hams out there that are courteous would do that. So, and that's pretty cool. And here's another little note WO6B had made today. You would be surprised how simple it is to actually build a very simple CW 5-watt transmitter receiver. You don't have all this DSP technology, super double whammy throwback phase lock loops, and so forth. It's real simple. Construction's simple. The receiver construction is simple. It's not much more than a little bit of an overpowered crystal set, and it's amazing what you can do. So, yeah, here's another aspect of it. You can have a whole lot of fun without a whole lot of money. Back to you, Mike.
I don't know if they're still available, but, you know, up until very recently, there was kits available for under $100 that would do 5, 10 watts and such. MFJ had CW and sideband transceivers that were, I think, in the $149 range or less, that, you know, you put together as a kit, which really is basic. And you make a lot of contacts with a wire up in a tree, maybe a little antenna tuner, and just a little transceiver and a battery and a telegraph key. And really work quite a bit of people, quite a bit of contacts.
Yeah, roger that. And, you know, and those are good kits. I'm not knocking the kits. But you can actually get that figure way down, especially if you're a builder. There's a lot of good information on the Internet, simple stuff, a lot of good stuff on the Internet right to the ARRL site that's open to the public. Even if you're not a member, there's a lot of good stuff there. And they have neat little projects there to throw together. And we're talking, you know, under 5 watts power and very limited budget. You don't have to have a lot of money. You can build this stuff. So that's pretty neat. That's a pretty neat aspect of ham radio. And is it legal for you to build your own radio? By golly, of course it is. That the main thing you have to be careful is that you're not transmitting on wrong frequencies. And usually these schematics or diagrams or kits are pretty much foolproof for that, but that's the only thing you have to be careful about. You cannot build it for somebody for hire, but you can build it for yourself as a ham radio operator. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, well, the little gang that I was in as a child, that's what we would do. We would go to surplus stores and oh, gosh, like actually be digging in trash of places that manufactured electronics and really scavenge a lot of stuff. And we did build several of our own little simple CW transmitters, mostly vacuum tubes back then, but solid state was really coming into play. And the problem was they didn't have the power that you needed for the transistors in the early days.
Yeah, roger that. I would, and I'm shooting from the hip with this one, but I'd venture to say that a lot of the more modern TV sets or even some of the older TV sets have enough parts. Or I may, you know, just have to be a little bit of a, you know, not a designer, but, you know, just kind of be able to figure out what can work in place of something else to actually build something like that. So it's doable. But anyway, pretty neat, pretty interesting stuff. So anybody out there listening in, any comments about CW or questions or, you know, even if you want to make a statement like, I think it's outdated, okay, which it is, but hey, you know what, it's a whole other world out there with ham radio. Any other comments out there, please come back.
It's only as outdated as you let it be. They got coherent
Roger that. I agree. Just to let you know, there's a little bit of, I don't know what, Mike has also got static underneath him, and it must be some of the propagation out there, probably from the wind. So hopefully the winds die down, the dust dies down, and our repeater gets back into good shape there. Actually, it's not the repeater, the propagation. So anybody else out there, any comments, questions, go ahead.
Yes, I feel.
86BL, Harold, go ahead.
I'm not CW. I passed the 5-word-per-minute test to get my upgrade, and that was a little stretch of my ability right there. But I did find, while I was trying to learn it, one good use for CW tapes. I used to go to the park, find a shady spot in the parking lot, sit there and read or whatever, and there's always some idiot with a lot of noise going on or doing something I don't like, so I just would stick a CW tape in my player, turn the volume up real loud, and within 2 minutes, well, they're gone. 86BL.
Well, there you go. There's another use for CW. Didn't even think about that. And do not recommend this myself, but I know of a ham out there that actually sends CW mobile. Now, not sure if this falls in the category of texting, which is not legal anymore, of course, while you're driving. And this is, I'm speaking of this as you're driving. So I don't recommend that. If you're going to send CW mobile, I recommend you pull over to the side of the road. But anyway, that's another neat thing there, because you can actually set up a CW rig in your car. But please, don't drive and send code at the same time. Anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or questions, go ahead.
For the record, that's not me sending CW and driving the WB6CLZ.
But you told me... Oh, okay. No, it's not Mike. It's somebody else. A gentleman that normally does not join us here at Tech Tuesday. But anyway, so anybody else out there, please, any questions, go ahead. Or just comments. Please come back.
86LAN.
KD6LAN from Bowler's Bay. Go ahead.
I got a question, and I apologize if you touched on this, but don't they have a computer program out there where you can actually type in CW or type in on a computer keyboard and it comes out CW at the other end?
As a matter of fact, that's something we didn't talk about this evening, but yes, they do, and it works both ways. There's a lot of decoders. I think Mike said there's one in his K3. You can also build and add on simple decoders for CW. So, you can. It's actually doable without learning code, which is a good thing, because then it actually gives you the opportunity to send and receive without knowing code, but you're going to find yourself learning it anyway as you do that, because it's going to stick with you. It's going to kind of just creep in. But anyway, yes, there is, Bill. That's a good point there. All right, anybody else out there or any other questions? Or Bill, did you have any other questions? Go ahead.
I'd like to follow up with that. It may be a dumb question, and I think I already know the answer, but Would that or would that not be allowed in taking a test?
Well, as they don't require the code anymore, a test for that. Of course, I'm not sure about the radio telephone exams. I'm not sure if I think they still require code there for those. But no, if you're in that test there, you have to copy and send by hand, basically. I think at 20 words a minute or 22, which is up into the second class, or was it second or first class license, commercial license, you're allowed to use what's called a paddle. But other than that, no, you cannot use software for that in that test. You have to know it by heart. No machinery allowed.
Thank you. No further. KD6LAN.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, KJ6KDL. I found a couple of interesting websites. One of them is A6V.com. That's AlphaCharlie6Victor.com. Has a sub-panel for Morse programs. And a link, it says Learning Morse Code. Has some various tips and tricks on learning that you can try. It says, see if they work for you. And then I just stumbled across a website with a free download program called, JustLearnMorseCode.com.
You know, and I think that last one there, Jim, I think that's one that Bill, our club president, was using or supported, and I think it was one he was using, said it was really good. I know there's also a little Java applet you can download, and AC6V, Alpha Charlie 6 Victor, probably one of the biggest ham resource sites out there for just about everything and anything. So I'm not surprised that they have that. And I'm not sure where I got that app, that Java applet, but you can download it, save it to your computer, and it's pretty cool for sending and practicing and keeps track of speeds and stuff. So mostly for learning to listen, because listening to code is probably a little bit more difficult. Sending, you already know what you're going to send, a little bit easier. So good point, though. Good side there. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments or anything else, Jim? Go ahead.
No, that's it for now. Thank you.
And KF6Q here with the Tech Tuesday group. Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday, 7 o'clock, conditions permitting. Any other comments out there? Any other neat little topics that we might want to do in the weeks coming up? Please come back.
Finally, I get a chance to break in. W6MRK, CW Forever, Echo Link.
Hey, Mark, good to hear from you up there, and we gave you a shot there at the very beginning. You must have been out walking Scotty or something. So, yeah, we left a big pause for you at the very beginning, but we didn't hear you out there. So, good to hear you. Yes, CW Forever, a lot of fun. Good stuff. So, anyway, Mark, go ahead. Any other comments from Mark on Echolink? Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was doing something even worse than that, Tom. I was accidentally listening to Obama's speech tonight, and that ran into a little bit of overtime. And then once I got back to the net and everything, basically listening because not enough time to actually be able to keep things up and get in. But anyway, I've been trying to do a little bit of Morse code up here, and it's getting better and better. My speed is improving a little bit more, too, so that's always a good thing. And quite a few people I'm coming across nowadays that they want to learn Morse code also, but, they're a little bit on the timid side. Nobody, of course, is doing classes on this, so it's rather hard. But More and more people have got the interest for doing that. So, it may not be tested for anymore. And I think it could be tested if somebody wanted to actually try and copy the Morse code, write it down on paper, and present it and everything. But, of course, it would not be necessarily have to apply to actually getting their license. But Morse code is a lot of fun, and it's going on more and more than ever. And Mike says, it's the best way to get out there when you don't have much to use. And being in an apartment right now, I tell you, Morse code really gets out to where the sideband gets into more speakers. So definitely a good thing to know. Back over to you, Tom. KF6Q in the group. W6MRK, man. Be good.
Okay, Mark. Yeah, very good comments there on Morse code and CW work. Really interesting stuff there. So, and you know, if we do have or see an interest for it up here, Mike and I were talking about getting a little group together, possibly starting out on this. And everybody out there listening, Mike is an avid 15 to 20 words a minute guy. I am still working on the alphabet. Okay, so. It's something I started years ago. I dropped it. I started it again a couple years ago and worked on it for a little bit. The secret is spending 15 minutes a day, no more than 15 minutes a day, and you can even skip a day or two. It's okay. But to just stick with it. And you'll find that just like that catchy tune that you can't get out of your head, next thing you know, you're da-dittin' and did-dottin', and I'd like to actually go to that YouTube thing and get that downloaded as a copy. That sounds pretty cool. So anyway, anybody else out there, as we get close to closing the net, any other comments? We'll send it to Mike first.
Tom, well, I just want to say that, yeah, I am capable of 15 plus words a minute, and 20 is a little bit of a push. But if anybody would like to schedule a CW contact or play around on it or, whatever, I'm more willing to slow down, and 5 words a minute is real comfortable for me. So if anybody's interested, just send me an email and we'll schedule something and play around with it. This is WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, good deal there. And just for everybody out there listening in, when we talk about 5 words a minute or 10 words a minute, this was pretty much generalized years ago with the exam. They're 5-letter words. So they're 5-letter words, and 5 words a minute would be about 25 characters. So with a little space in there per minute, I'd say that's about one character. Oh, that's less than a character. More than a second per character, so that's at 5 words a minute. So you find that that's actually pretty doable, and it's not that hard. And then it's like anything else, you get better with time. Good thing to know, though. That's why we had this session on this tonight. And like I said, if we have anybody interested, get a hold of us. Yeah, we'll put something together. We can all work on this together. Anybody else out there? Any final comments, questions, or suggestions? Go ahead.
Yeah, one more comment.
Go ahead.
I just remembered that the Yaesu FT2900R has a CW trainer built into it. And I haven't used it yet, but it's in there. Unfortunately, my FT270 handheld only has some pre-programmed responses like SOS, but the mobile unit you can set up to send you testing.
Okay, roger that. Well, that's pretty interesting. And I think that there's a lot of other radios out there which could be, there's probably mods out there you can do. When I say mods, just simple things that would plug into the microphone or PTT jacks and stuff like that to allow that, even though they're not normally set up for CW. However, you got to be careful. Not too many people doing CW on the 2-meter band, but it's good to have out there because it is allowed. Technically, it's allowed on all bands except for the 60-meter band. But you got to be careful where you're at out there. You don't want to be interfering. So especially with FM transmissions and whatever else is out there on the same band. So anybody else out there, any final questions, suggestions, or comments, please come back. All right, well, I think we've done it again, Mike. Put them all to sleep. All righty, well, I want to thank everybody out there who's listened in and participated. It's QST, QST, QST. This is KF6Q acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday group. Appreciate, again, everybody who has participated. Please join us again next week, and we'll have another interesting topic and some more educational stuff out there, and just a whole bunch of fun, too. So thanks again. It's KF6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use. And we'll be clear, standing by.